The underdog is howling.
Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Welcome in. Week 9. That it is. The last weekend of October. We are here. Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast. Thank you for checking in. Just want to mention before we get started and move on with this week with Bears travel and all that we got to offer, check me out and my guy SVP on the SV pod. This week we're talking about all the yeah buts around the Arizona Cardinals and if there's a path for the playoffs for the defending AFC champion Chiefs. And most importantly, my thing that I hate this week was about dinner. How long should a dinner last? Follow the SB Pod wherever you get your podcasts. And watch NBA Today on ESPN, Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Malika Andrews at the helm. She's joined by a full cast of ESPN NBA experts, insiders, reporters, and more. That's NBA Today, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on ESPN, the ESPN app, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. Bear, how we doing, my man?
Can I piggyback on two things there?
Yes.
Number one, I really hope the Chiefs make the playoffs. Like, really, really hope the Chiefs make the playoffs, or else there will be no Christmas in the Felica household. That's number one. And number two, I don't know what way you go with on the dinner, but I can't stand, like, when we go out, like Herb Street's classic for this. Oh, yeah, we'll go out. It'll be an hour 15 tops.
Two and a half hours
later, we're sitting there. And I'm getting antsy and want to get back to my room and do work. So yeah, I am not a 2.5-3 hour dinner guy. Just doesn't do it during football season when we got work to do.
I said two hours. I'll give you 2 hours.
And that's good. Okay, I can deal with that.
This is also, if it's over 2 hours, they have a thing usually at these restaurants called a bar. The people that want to hang out go to the bar. People that want to leave can leave. There you go. That's why the bar is there. So enjoy your dinners, people. Speaking of dinners, you are on the move this week to East Lansing. Full-fledged of college football preview shows will be on hand in East Lansing, yep. I believe. Everybody will be there. You also have some more travel after East Lansing, mm-hmm. correct? Can you yep. take us through what we're looking at travel-wise?
It's not too bad at the start. Like, it's an easy flight to Detroit, and then
an
hour and 15 drive from Detroit to Lansing, and then we take it on down to Columbus for Penn State, Ohio State, and then I have a flight home on Saturday night after the a flight to the Northeast, I should say, on Saturday, and then there'll be a car waiting there for me and a couple of other people on the crew to drive us back to Connecticut. So I'll probably walk in the door around 3 a.m. or so.
I do have to ask about the following week. There's a lot of people wondering, and I'm just looking for a percentage chance the show goes to El Paso.
There's a chance. I can't speak for the ultimate decision makers because my input is this year has been – has not really gone to like what I thought. I mean, there were like 3 straight weeks where I said we should be somewhere and we were not at that place. So, I said we should be in Iowa on that week. And then the week after that, I said we should be in Cincinnati for the UCF game, I think it was, right? And then last week I said we should have been in Pitt. So 3 straight weeks, and I went 0-3, a lot like my picks these days. My picks have sucked, and my game day site prognostication has sucked. But if I would – my feel right now is I would give an edge to Cincinnati next week.
Okay.
But UTSA is definitely on the radar in the mix.
All right. Don't get your hopes up too high, people, but you heard the man. There is a chance. I would say there's a lot of pressure on UTEP this week. Knowing that UTSA is on a bye. You mentioned
it's the Oregon State syndrome. Yes. I mean, that was the most predictable correlated money line parlay you ever could have played. Oregon State lose to Wazoo, miss out on game day, off week, come back, beat Utah at home as an underdog. I mean, that was a lock. That's how it rolls. Yeah, you kept double-digit dog down at Willie Taggart's place this week.
Yeah, your old stomping grounds.
No, I didn't hang much in Boca.
Too far north. I forgot. Once you got money in your pocket, that's where you go now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't have money in my pocket when I was down there, that's for sure. I went about as far north as the Button South, which was a great rock club at the time. Okay. To see a lot of shows there, and that was about as far north as I was able to get as a poor student.
Was that still early 90s?
That was early 90s. Yep.
Okay. All right. Just trying to let the people let that sink in a little bit. Bear with a little hair bandana on.
I saw so many great shows there. some Marilyn Manson back when there were Marilyn Manson and the Spooky Kids. I saw nice. There was another great band called the Jenna Torturers. It was good, small, real hard rock type crowd there. Revealing far too many inner secrets of my formative teenage years and music that I took place in. I can't remember if I saw Sepultura there or if I saw them at the Edge. It was one of the two. Helmet. I remember Helmet. I saw at the Edge. That was right there.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, a lot of hard angst rock in my past.
All right. I have a confession. Picks have been not great, and I'm going back and looking at everything, and it strictly due to a thing that started a couple of years ago where we got really hot on, and I haven't made it a point to make sure I've given out noon games. But the noon games have been absolutely cataclysmic to your boy this year. So here's what I'm going to do this week, okay? I love four sides in noon games this week. I'm giving them to you, the people, and I am not putting them in the column. So I feel like that's a better chance for them to win, all right? I am starting with your game that you'll be at for game day. It's Michigan. It's Michigan State. And I am floored by the total that in this game. I cannot believe it's 50.5.
That's disgusting.
I love the under in this game. I think the audacity of both teams to have to try and impose their will with a run game, I think you will see. Obviously, it's a great matchup of Michigan State with all those veterans and upperclassmen. Do they have a seventh-year guy on their offensive line? I thought I read that somewhere. They do. That combined with the Michigan D line, who's been awesome. I mean, obviously led by Hutchinson. I mean, a tough year to be a defensive end and make an All-American team, but I think he has a pretty good case as we move forward here. We know about Michigan as we're getting to this time of year. We know it's an offer, I believe, from Harbaugh against top 10 teams. And right, I'm pretty sure it's an offer. But, you know, we know the 2-12.
Yeah, because finally got a win again. What was it? Wisconsin still technically ranked when they
But they weren't top 10. I think it's still top 10, whatever. Anyway, I love the under in this game. I do think Michigan State is, I don't want to say by far, but they're definitely the best offense in the air that Michigan's going to have faced. When you go back and look at the teams Michigan has faced, they can't throw the ball. And I'm not saying Michigan State is this huge throwing offense, but with Peyton Thorne and Reed and Naylor, those are two guys that average about 20 yards a catch. I do think they give Michigan problems in creating sustainability, right? This game's all going to be all about long play drives and who can put the ball in the end zone when you get to the red zone. And I think Michigan State has the goods. So I really like the under, and I like Michigan State in this game to keep it close enough.
And now Michigan State's been a big play offense so far. I mean, they had the four like 80 or 90 yard touchdowns
against Rutgers.
Against Rutgers, and Walker's broken some big runs, and they had the special teams touchdowns against Nebraska on the punt. So you're right. I don't love this game, but I right now, if I had to play the right now sitting here Wednesday morning like we're recording this, I don't anticipate this line moving to 5 or 5.5.
No.
Or six. I think people are going to gravitate towards the home dog. So I think you're going to get the best in the number at Michigan State plus 4.5. And if you don't like it, you probably give yourself an opportunity to get off it if you want to eat the juice a little bit. So if you got to play the game right now in anticipation of maybe a move to 4 or 3.5, Michigan State would be the side that I would play too. Okay, can I say something else too while we're talking about Michigan State?
Please.
Michigan State fans, hear me out. You want facts. Facts. Here we go.
Did you know?
I never said the word fraud last week. That was your guy, Herb Street and Reese Davis. Here's the rundown of Michigan State for me this year. I took Michigan State on the money line on this podcast to beat Miami. They beat Miami. I took Nebraska plus the points, and I said that I thought Nebraska would beat Michigan State. They probably should have, but they didn't, but they did cover. Western Kentucky was a bad pick. You covered that number. Excellent.
Barely.
I took Indiana plus 4.5 against Michigan State, and I said Michigan State by a field goal. Michigan State won by 5. I missed covering by a half a point because of a 2-point conversion and a pick 6 and a 24 and a 25-yard field goal. It's not like I've had wrong, terrible sides. Only once have I really been on the wrong side of the game. So calm down. Take a deep breath. I never said the word fraud. My prognostication and my outlook on your games every week has not been as bad as you think it is. All right? Calm down. I actually like Michigan State. That's the funny thing. I would bet them all the time when they were big dogs in these games against, you know, so just take a deep breath and just absorb the facts, let it sink in, and maybe think you might be overreacting a little bit, all right? Carry
on. On the other side, I'm just going to mention it. I don't want it to happen because I'm tired of it. Can you imagine if Michigan loses and he's 0-2 to Mel Tucker? Because
I can imagine it's not too far-fetched.
Yeah. So this feels like the ultimate wait and see game. Like, we've been waiting for this to finally really have a say about these two teams. And now, as far as, like, if Michigan State wins this game, they could lose out and they'll be happy with their season. I firmly believe that. And or feel better about themselves. If Michigan wins this game, we know they still have a lot of work to do, and it's that much closer. So it's a real contrast of outcomes of what we'll be talking about. So I'm really fired up to see that one coming. Another noon side I like, and I think it's kind of smelly again with this team.
That's disgusting.
Involved also, I'll take Iowa plus the 3.5. I know Wisconsin went to West Lafayette and got it done. It scared me off last week. I had no feel for what that was with them giving points and Purdue off their biggest win, what they've had in 3 years. I know Iowa's out their best corner again for a second straight game.
Gee, I wonder if that'll really come into play with the 8 passes that Graham Mertz is likely to throw.
And
I guess you can just say, hey, we're going to get 5 turnovers and we're going to throw the ball 8 times, we're good.
There you go. You're not going to get that this week, I don't think, against Iowa. Wisconsin people have called me out because I don't feel like a noon game or an 11 a.m. local in Madison is the same as a night game in Madison. If you pay close attention, you could see the student section doesn't fill up till halftime. And I think it's a perfect spot.
I agree.
It's bad deal where they have like single file. I watched it. Well, it's a couple of years ago when I was at the Michigan game. It's not fair to the kids that want to get in the game for the beginning.
That was the amazing thing at the Rose Bowl last week. I don't want to say get there earlier, but if you're going to be requiring your vaccine card or a proof of a negative test, have a couple of more lanes open up to be able to get these people in the building. Because once they finally got in, the stadium was pretty damn full. But like 14-0 in the stadium's half full. But then they get in the game. So, wow, that was just sad because it was a really good opportunity for UCLA to showcase their crowd, the stadium, that people actually care about football. And to see people in a single line Kind of was a bummer, but I get it. But anyway, sorry for the interjection. Carry on.
No, here's one thing I wanted to bring up. This is just a message for everybody in the world, just so if you're in charge of things and trying to deal with people, no one shows up early for anything anymore, guys. Just so you know, no one, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a dinner. I don't care if it's a game. I don't care if it's an appointment. No one shows up early. So get that out of your requirements when you're dealing with people nowadays. It's just something I've come across in dealing with people. So trying to help people out. I like Iowa in that game. And the other noon kickoff Eastern, I think Texas. It looks easy to me. I just think they're a class above Baylor. I know if they lose, they're 4-4. But I think Texas with that offense is special. I'm sure we'll talk about your running back at Ohio State, but I'll still take Bijan over any running back in the country. And I think Texas wins that game on the field. So those are my four I like at noon. I'm not putting them in the column. Those are for you. Those are winners. Anything else Thursday? I feel like I might be giving out Troy on Daily Wager Thursday night on the Teal. 18.5. Troy's been a team that can play some defense. Haven't seen Coastal have to come off of loss. I'm not sure how that'll work, but that just feels like a high number, no?
It does. It does, but Troy's offense is not very good, so that
okay. You would like it better if Troy was getting like 9. You would like it better.
Perfect. Exactly. Exactly. You know my deal.
Cincinnati's given 20 plus on the road again, 24.5 at Tulane. I said it last week. Somebody is going to get them in these games, and it happened with Navy. Shout out to Navy showing up. The Canes, good spot for them. Big pit off a letdown, maybe.
I don't know. I think they could be in a little bit of trouble here. But like I said, that being said, and we talked about it last week. Was they had fallen behind Virginia, they had fallen behind North mm-hmm. Carolina, and they fought back, and they very easily could have won both of those games. That was a good sign. So it was good to see them come out and offensively play well. I do worry about them defensively, though, facing Pickett throwing the ball. Feels like Kenny Pickett's playing his 7th game against Miami. I got to ask Pollock on Saturday if Tyler Van Dyke was able to cash that check that he wrote, wind him up on Saturday.
But yeah, I was listening. Reese already got him on the podcast with that one.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Reese
is stealing my material now then. Okay.
All right. Yeah, Reese has coined the phrase wolf packing now. It's the old Clemson.
Oh, stop it. They were a field goal favorite in the game. I'll have to get on him for that. Wolfpacking would have been losing to Louisiana Tech, but you're right. The Cincinnati game, I'm curious about because I think what you're going to see is that could be potentially become one of those Cincinnati talking points at the end of the year. And I see Tulane went to Oklahoma at the start of the year and only lost by 5, and we beat Tulane by 30. So I mean, I think I'm curious to see how much Cincinnati rolls it up on Tulane this week.
Okay. I've been changing my avatar to my favorite tight ends in the country. People have had some fun with that. I have a good feeling we might see Pittsburgh tight end do everything. Number 7, Lucas Kroll, who just is a monster. He's been awesome this year for them. 6'6", 260, Bear. That's some size right there, running vertical routes on you. I actually think he has a couple of reverses also for some carries on rush yards. But other than that, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, Rutgers -1.5 at Illinois smells me far away. And for what seems like the 9th straight week, I think Indiana is the right side, and I'm not taking
it. You can't do it, man.
No. You can't do it. Huge spot for Maryland because they need that game to have Rutgers to end the season in Piscataway to become bowl eligible. I don't want anything to do with Maryland right now with the injuries they've had. They've lost 2 NFL receivers, 3 of their best corners. So we'll see how that stacks up. That lines up to 5.5 at the Snake Pit, Maryland giving points there. The Cyclones win, but don't cover last week. And now they're giving 7 in Morgantown. Thank you for taking me off TCU as much as I did. I still gave them out, but it was not as large of a wager as I anticipated. TCU now with Evans doing what he's doing on social media. I had them circled also this week at Kansas State, but I will not be giving them out. But Iowa State, plenty to play for. Do you like this spot for them?
I do like the spot for them. This is a West Virginia team that they have thoroughly dominated the last couple of years. Last 3 years, they've beaten them by a combined 110 to 34 in games that they were single-digit favorites the entire way. I would look at playing Iowa State here. That was a West Virginia. I mean, they won last week on the road. I think TCU has a ton of problems, though. So yeah. I like where Iowa State is right now. We talked about it a little bit last week again. It's an opportunity for them to get back in the Big 12 and the race. And I want to say national title because they got no shot at the playoff with 2 losses. But being that they kind of got forgotten about a little bit, defensively they played awesome last week. Offensively they struggled a little bit. So, but I do like them here. Laying the 6.5-7.
All right, and that gets us to 3:30. Obviously, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. Is that what it is now? I believe that's what it's called.
Yeah, no, you can't use the word cocktail party.
Oh, okay. Outdoor party where they split the stadium 50-50. Georgia, I just want to make sure this is updated, is minus 14 on the number, 14 over under 51. Here's what I'll say here. I know everybody's going to talk about Dan Mullen coming into this game, right? And his offensive calling prowess and what he did to Alabama to expose them in that tight loss. We know how bad the turnovers were at LSU in a game where they were given double digits on the road and lost the game on the field. He tried handling both quarterbacks. Now he has a bye week. It felt like over a month ago, this was going to be the buildup to where we saw Richardson start a whole game. I don't think he's capable. I think the quarterbacks.
And he mustn't be. I mean, if Dan hasn't started him by now, he's not ready.
And I think the two quarterback system is the way to go in this game. And like I said, everybody's going to talk about Mullen, have his team ready, how good of a play caller he is, doing what he did to that Georgia defense last year in this same game with Trask and Pitts. And obviously, are Pitts playing this game last year? He did. Okay.
I'm pretty sure he did.
But anyway, Florida came out and did what they did. To me, this is the other side. Fair. I think this is a great spot for Todd Monken, the Georgia offensive coordinator. The quarterback position is what everybody's talking about. We've gone, it feels like every week, who are they better at? You know, who's better? Can they win with Stetson Bennett? Can they win a title with him? Blah, blah, blah. And to me, I don't think it matters. I don't think Florida's defense can hold up against Georgia's offensive line when it comes by snap after snap after snap. So I like this position for Monken. I think it's a big spot where he can take some shots early and see if he can get – I mean, you're going to beat guys downfield and knowing how attacking styles these teams play, right? So I like what Georgia – I mean, I think Cook's been great. Obviously, White, the running backs. Bowers has been so good. Washington getting more back in the mix. McConkey's been really good as a reliable target for the quarterbacks, whoever plays. I think Kirby said on Monday afternoon – Daniels practiced last Thursday and was pain free, and that I don't think he was going to throw again until Tuesday. So there's a good chance you could see both quarterbacks, but I think they're versatile enough. I think they'll give Florida problems. And like I said, I think it's a lot on the Florida defense. I don't think they can hold up for 60. I mean, look at Bennett against Kentucky, 14 to 20, 250, 3 touchdowns. I'll take that any day of the week. If you're going to give me that from Stetson Bennett, Georgia's not going to lose if he does that. So I think I lay the 14 here with Georgia in this spot, knowing I wanted to see more offense throughout this season. I think I've seen enough, and I like this matchup, like I said, for Monken and that Georgia offense.
Yeah, I lean towards Leonard here too, and I know Georgia in these games typically are under type games. I might play the over here.
Like it
because I think Florida will get a couple of get deep balls through the air, but I don't know how many times they stop Georgia, and there are people that think Georgia is better off with Stetson Bennett, a quarterback. Mm. Than JT Daniels. So yeah, I think Georgia does win the game, and I think it's a rare over. You know, you could see a couple of non-offensive touchdowns in this game too. I think there's a good chance that Georgia maybe gets a pick six or something like that with the guys that Florida has under center. So I of the possible size and totals here, I would lean towards going over.
Okay. Fascinated, obviously, that's shown some upsets in that rivalry, obviously.
By the way, this is the biggest favorite that Georgia has ever been over Florida.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then,
the largest upset in the series, by the way, 1997.
That's what I want to see on the show. Gators,
20.5 point favorite. And then the head dog just happened to win by 20.
We need to see that video this week. He's got that big white top hat, Georgia hat. Remember
high front, probably a bad like horizontal striped shirt with red and black and white. Yeah.
I remember the old, they were called the game. Remember those hats, the white hats?
Yep.
They started with the circle and the cursive in the middle, and then they went doing all their things there. 330s. I am interested in Florida State and Clemson because this game last year, I was shocked at how Dabo treated that game. I mean, he was adamant about how he thought things should be handled. Obviously, that was canceled the morning of the game. There was plenty of words said back and forth, and they would never imagine they were in this spot now. Clemson, what they've looked like, and then Florida State coming in with as good of things as could possibly be under Norvell. Do you think Pumichan starts?
No.
Okay. So Uwe Ungalale will get another chance. Clemson -10 at home, 47. Anything there? You think Florida State could score?
No, I'm not getting involved in any Clemson games the rest of the year.
I think this might be my last one.
They're just a complete stay away team for me.
They haven't scored 20 against a Power 5 team.
In regulation, I know.
Yeah, that's pretty eye-opening. But if I was going to take one last stand with Clemson, they might be in the column. I just think that defense will eat Florida State alive, knowing the problems Florida State still has up front on that offensive line. So they might be in the column. They might not. Moving on. You got a line that stinks this week.
That's disgusting.
Boise State only 2.5 at Colorado State stinks. And then that's probably my favorite play of the week is Colorado State getting the 2.5. You got Boise, who is – I think it's a name recognition team only, laying less than a field goal on the road at a team that can't count, basically. Mm-hmm. With the count or with the clock or timeouts. But Colorado State, I mean, they went to Iowa and played well. They've won at Toledo, probably should have won last week. Yeah, I think this is a Boise team that really hasn't been able to put together a real complete game. This year, I like Steve Addazio and the Rams here.
I had this one circled to dive in, Bear, because this is a line that stuck out to me because it stunk. Mm-hmm. And when I went and looked at this and I dove in on Boise, I mean, Boise's always at least average defensively, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they've done a good job of playing team defense and creating turnovers. They're giving up over 400 yards a game.
Which that's is crazy. Andy Avalos is the head coach.
they haven't played that toughest, like in years past, I could see, you know, where they've gone on the road and played Power Five teams and big teams. But this year, I mean, they lost to Oklahoma State in that brutal call. You know, they went on the road and beat BYU, who I still don't have an idea how good they are. Mm-hmm. But that stuck out to me, and that's what shied me away from this game was Boise's defense. I mean, they have not been good, giving up almost 200 yards on the ground a game. That's the stuff that doesn't travel to me.
The thing with Boise, like in the past, people always just remember Kellen Moore and Zabransky and all the razzle dazzle Statue of Liberty, but they had guys on that defensive mm-hmm. side of the ball, whether it was on the defensive line or a linebacker, that would yes. always defend, and they're not there this year. And then the other game where the line I thought stunk out loud was Auburn. That's the other one that, again, I don't know if I want to be involved in this game. Normally, I'm on the side of the line that stinks the other way. Mm-hmm. Normally I would jump towards taking Auburn. Someone reached out to me earlier in the week, like literally like Sunday night it was, and said that they heard something about Auburn maybe having some suspensions coming down the road, which I haven't heard anything of it since. So I don't know if there's message board fodder out there, and maybe that's where he got that from. But this is not a game that I want to be involved in.
No, this is my number one line that stinks this week. I couldn't believe Auburn was favored, and then it goes up. Now it did get to three, and now it's 2.5. Ole Miss, we know what they are. That offense is going to come. They're averaging 540 yards. Auburn has done a really good job in the last couple games of tightening things up. Nix has been great. Played probably his best road game of his career. At Arkansas in a big spot where he had a career high in yards. But Auburn has just been a thorn in my side this year. Like, I've tried to go with them, go against them. And I've talked about how I like the Harsin hire. And I think it's more of a buttoned-up approach, and that's what you need here in this game. You know Ole Miss is going to try everything early to try and jump on top and play from play with the lead. I'm still not sold on that Ole Miss defense. I think Auburn, if they could get their run fits right, they can run the ball on Ole Miss and keep Corral off the field, which is what I think they want to do, and then set up those wide open play action passes for Nix, because he's been good. I still think their receivers, for the first time in a long time, Auburn's are below average. They've always got a guy, you know, like in this year, it just doesn't feel like they have that. And to me, it comes down to Auburn's secondary. There's talent back there. When they're good, they're really good. Can they hold up for 60 against Ole Miss? It's a stay away for me.
I'm going to hit decline on Kirk Herbstreit's phone call right now. Just so.
All right.
Yeah, we decline.
There we go.
We'll get back to you, Herbie. We'll get back to him at some point.
My favorite player.
Maybe that's a good omen. Remember a few years ago, back when, before you left me, and before when we were still doing this together, in person in Bristol, when he would call like every week during the pod, and we had good luck. So maybe that'll be a good omen. Maybe that's the
slight. We need it. That's for sure. I can't believe I'm saying this.
Say it.
I love Kansas this week. I do. I think.
Explain.
Oklahoma State obviously had everything to play for last week, right? In Ames. And they lose by a field goal, and it came down to that measurement, which, I mean, you say, I thought it was a bad spot, but you, whatever. It the decision was made, and it happens.
Yeah, those and now they come didn't home. Have a great game with the Hutchinson. That crew might deserve a week off.
And I look at that spot coming back home off of that, knowing you still have a conference championship to play for and all that, I get it. But 30.5, like I'm like Leipold, I'm in. Like that guy, they have shown unbelievable improvement. I know Oklahoma State's defense is better than Oklahoma's. I know Kansas was that close last week against Oklahoma, but the way Bean could get around, like I think they could score enough to keep this within 30.5. Oklahoma State's offense is not as as good as in years past.
No.
You know, they average 25 a game. I just think, and maybe a slow start, but I just think Kansas is not, I don't think they're 30 points worse on the road in Stillwater. I really don't. And I think Leipold could scheme up some things and play around here. I just look at this number. Like, I don't think this is the same old Kansas. That's that to me, after watching them and seeing what I've seen. And yeah, it could be a little recency bias, but I'm also convinced if Caleb Williams doesn't take the ball, Kansas wins that game because Oklahoma wasn't stopping them. So I am going and taking the 30.5 with Kansas, sir.
I always hate saying this, but I was much more impressed with Oklahoma State's defense last week in defeat than, mm-hmm. than I think people might have been without really watching them. I mean, I've caught bits and pieces of a lot of their games. The Boise game I watched a good bit of, mm-hmm. and there was one other game. But their defense played really well last week, with the exception of mm-hmm. a couple of big plays that Hall and Hutchinson had at some point. So I don't know how many points Kansas okay. gets there. You mentioned a couple thorns in the side. I'm going to go back to the well with two of mine, two teams that
you're chasing to get back at them.
I'm chasing with one of them. And then the other one is more like heartbreak because they've gotten there on the cover side, but like Nebraska, that's another line. They're 7.5
yes.
Against Purdue. Purdue coming off that performance last week. Nebraska, a week off since the Minnesota debacle. Line seems a little higher than probably what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to lay the 7.5 with Nebraska. And then the other one is North Carolina. I couldn't have been more wrong with North Carolina. You know what the kick in the you-know-what is? I did not think Clemson was going to win the ACC this year. Like, I was looking for teams and reasons to pick mm-hmm. to win that league other than Clemson. And I fell on North Carolina. So, like, I had the right intention, but I just fell on the wrong team. But I still think Carolina is going to present some matchup problems for the Notre Dame defense. You saw Drake London have a big game last week against the Irish. They just couldn't really stop the run. So we'll see if North Carolina's defense can grow up a little bit and maybe slow down Kyron Williams. But I'm going to take UNC plus the 3.5 there.
All right. I Notre Dame's been good to me. Helped me out huge last week. And after that brutal start to the day again with another noon game. So I was looking at Notre Dame, same deal as last week. I forgot who I had laying 3.5, and I wanted to buy the 3 to get there. But I was looking at that to get off that 3.5. It's interesting.
By the way, did you enjoy the Army scoring 60 points last week and losing?
Yeesh.
As soon as they threw the pick six, I knew.
Pick six.
I knew.
Pick six. It was done.
That was the service break because they weren't stopping Wake, and when Wake wasn't stopping them,
nope.
So that was going to be like the who was it? Isner and Mayhew, the 70-68 tiebreak. Whatever it was in Wimbledon, that's what that was going to be. Like they were, no one was getting a stop in that game until that pick six. So what a crazy game.
I wanted to look at that whatever you call line score or whatever, like the scoring drive chart. It's just mm-hmm. like Army. Here you go. Where is it? Wake Forest, one play, 75 yards touchdown. Army, 9 plays, 75 yards touchdown. Wake Forest, 1 play, 75 yard touchdown. Like, it's just, I mean, total yards 638 to 595. And you're just sitting there, you're hoping too, because I mean, same thing with Air Force last week. I had them, they go down 20-0. I'm like, I actually like when these option teams go up tempo option. It really seems to quicken mm-hmm. things and widen them up. And Air Force just lost track of time, and that was the wrong side. So you are going back to get something and chasing. I am chasing San Diego State. I am going with Fresno State. I think I'm catching a point here. Do you know what they're playing for in this game?
They're playing for the California Raisin Valley. How about that?
The old oil can.
I didn't know there was a connection between Fresno and San Diego, but okay.
Do you have a
history lesson on what the old oil can is?
I don't. I was going to wait for the game broadcast to do that one. So I'm sure we'll dig that out. But I think it was a bad beat. Fresno State covering the whole game last week against Nevada. I think they're a superior team. I understand San Diego State is undefeated and ranked. They should be. The defense has been phenomenal. But when I look at Fresno, I think they did. I mean, Nevada's defense is pretty good up front. They get after you. Fresno only gave up one sack. And I know Cameron Thomas has been awesome for San Diego State. He's got 4.5 sacks. He had a sack last week and a TFL against Air Force. But I think this is the best offense San Diego State has seen. I think the balance that Fresno State brings to the table, I think San Diego State is at the top of the country in defense, giving up rush yards. I think they're around 79. San Diego State's won 3 of 5, 3 of the last 5. And neither team has scored 30 in this series since 2013. It goes back to being a year with Hainer, DeBoer. I've talked ad nauseum about how much I think about him. San Diego State still not able to throw the ball. I'm not saying they have to because their formula is successful.
Their offense is
so beautiful. I think Fresno State could cause some problems there. And I'm going to take Fresno State plus the point late out west.
By the way, here we go. The battle for the old oil can was coined as a result of a contest run jointly by Fresno State and San Diego State Alumni Associations. Entrants were asked to suggest a name for the rivalry along with a trophy. Of the entries received, one recounted the discovery of an old oil can from Fresno around 1935 that was supposedly recovered during a San Diego State campus building project. The oil can likely came from a time when Aztec and Bulldog teams and fans traveled to football games between the two schools via the old, twisting, precipitous grapevine section of the Highway 99 over Tejon Pass, said Jacqueline Glazner, the executive director of the Fresno State Alumni Association. So there we go. There's the rationale behind the old oil can.
All right.
Oil can there that we was go. Supposedly recovered during San Diego. So we're just making stuff up.
All right. And here's where you, the weekly, what do we call this? The Bear Dad Talk to Me. I want to take Penn State.
I can't talk you off it.
No?
It would be the side that I would play. I think the line is a big overreaction to what we saw last week.
Me too.
You would assume that Clifford's going to be a week healthier. This is an Ohio State offense that's been cranking, but the five teams that they've beaten are a combined 10-21 versus FBS teams. So I think defensively, I think Penn State is going to offer a bit of a challenge here. So yeah, if I had to play this game, I'm with you. I'd be on Penn State if I had to play it.
It's just one of those. You're going to be there. We're going to be watching it. I want to have a side in it. And for the most part, you could say what he did in the press conference this week, and was it him messing around and mentioning Illinois and talking about the big house, like. I don't know if he's trying to get off kilter. I know he changed agents this week, which opened some eyes. But Franklin's, for the most part, gotten his team ready to play against Ohio State. And I can't help but think, because everybody just, you know, looks at the final score. Oh, Ohio State got it cranking. They're good. Tulsa, Rutgers, Maryland, Indiana. Those are what this offense has gone against. And I'm not saying Penn State's going to shut them down. I said before the season, Ohio State's had one of the best wide receiver rooms I've ever seen in the sport. Ryan Day is my favorite play caller in the sport. But I do feel like Penn State could get up for this. And I mean, they haven't played the greatest offenses, but their pass defense has been pretty good. And it's all about, you know, not letting guys run free. And I feel like Penn State in the back end is smart enough to do that. So I think I'm going to have Penn State plus 18.5 in the column. There, I said it.
You said it. Can we bring up Just one other thing I talked about, how Cincinnati is going to use maybe the Tulane game as a talking point with Oklahoma. Can we bring up the fact that Ohio State led Indiana 44-7 at halftime last week? And Indiana led Cincinnati in the fourth quarter when they played. And so these are the types of conversations I think that people are going to have, especially next week once the playoff rankings come out.
And Oregon went to Columbus and won, right?
Right.
Okay. I just want to remember that one. Okay. Just make sure Reese remembers that. All those guys on that show Tuesday night. Just, we got to make sure that
I'll remind them.
Brought up.
When I jot down my my weekly storylines to follow with the standings released tonight, and I will make sure I throw that in there just for you.
Okay. Here's a question for you. We'll end before the Big Mike Happy Recap. Currently, as we are in week 9, all right, the Big Ten has 4 teams ranked in the top 10. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say week 13. Let's fast forward a month. How many Big Ten teams are ranked in the top 10?
2.
I agree.
And that's not to say that they aren't top 10, like power rating, like quality teams. It's just going to be a victim of the circumstances where they lose and the pollsters will drop them and some of the other teams behind them will win and they'll move up.
If Georgia loses this week, who's number one in the country?
That's a good question.
Thank you. They can't jump Michigan. If they win.
No.
It's not going to be Cincinnati.
That's a great question.
Thank you.
You know what though? I think the AP pollsters would see the undefeated with Cincinnati and put Cincinnati there, even though they're not.
Wow. Wow. Now then we're talking about a show Tuesday night to see where Cincinnati.
Be careful though, because don't always just assume like the rankings are going to replicate the AP poll. They really, the college football playoff rankings have kind of closely mimicked what like the strength of record has been.
Yes.
And like Oklahoma after Georgia has the best strength of record. Cincinnati is like 8th in strength of record. And that's kind of what the committee has looked at when you get down to it, kind of like what you've achieved against the schedule that you faced and like deserving type. So maybe it would be Oklahoma. I don't know.
I think if Oklahoma blows away Texas Tech, which they're more than capable of doing, Alabama's on a bye week. Cincinnati's playing Tulane. I think I could see that. I also could see, if Michigan rolled Michigan State, I could see them number one. What I do need to see Tuesday is Oregon ahead of Ohio State. That's what we need to see.
I don't think you're going to see that.
How?
Because I think that the committee will see Ohio State and the win over Penn State. I disagree with it. I don't think you can make the jump yet. I would still have Oregon just slightly ahead of Ohio State, just because they do have the same record. Oregon put together, I mean, the second and third quarters last week, they played really, really well. And they should have won that game by more, but there were just a couple of poor decisions by Anthony Brown. But I think as Ohio State builds up equity by beating Penn State, if they beat Michigan State, if they beat Michigan and then beat Iowa, who might be 11-1 in that Big Ten championship game, then I think you will absolutely 100% unquestionably see Ohio State ahead of Oregon.
All right. Anything before the happy recap?
No, I think I've got, I was going to blow my AFLAC trivia question here on the pod, but I'm going to save it.
Okay.
It ties into the Oklahoma Texas Tech game. So I'm not going to, not that those clowns listen to our pod anyway.
No, they don't listen. I think we'll be in November. I was going to say, if you could look up, if there's ever been a one-loss team ranked number one the first week in November.
I can look that up.
That would be a good one, I think. Save that for Fowler and the boys.
I mean, you see,
you think it's ever happened?
You talking about the first week of November?
Or any
point? No? Yeah, okay. All right. For the first poll in November.
First poll in November.
See, now, technically, here's the issue. Halloween is the 31st on Sunday, and that's when the poll is released. So maybe it's the games being played in the first week of November.
Okay. Work on that. Okay. There you go. Fine. You're good at those words. Right? I know. You were an English minor, right?
Hell no. History, double major, history.
There it is.
And broadcasting.
Big Mike Happy Recap.
The Big Mike Happy Recap. I gave you my noon picks that are going to win, and I'm not giving them in the column. That is the under in a Michigan State game, Iowa, Texas, and Michigan State. My picks for the column for sure will have the Jayhawks of Kansas plus the 30.5, Fresno State plus the point. Who else? I don't know. I think Penn State's going to be in there. I might have Clemson, and I might have go against you with Notre Dame. You, sir.
Yeah, I'm going to a couple of dogs I play on the money line. I played Virginia on the money line. The Bronco returned to BYU. I agree with you. I played Texas on the money line. And then the four that I'm pretty sure are going to be in the column. Colorado State is definitely going to be in the column. North Carolina, Nebraska, and I like Mississippi State. Remember how last week we were talking about games that crossed over zero and I hated when I liked the team?
Yeah.
And then that's what happened with Oregon and UCLA. Like, Oregon opened up as a favorite, flipped over, and we saw what happened. I think the same thing here. Mississippi State was favorite. Now it's flipped to Kentucky. So I'm going to be on the bullies here.
All right. You think Bronco Mendenhall gets treated better than when Lane went back to Knoxville?
Maybe a little bit. So slightly better. I don't think any BYU fans will be bringing golf balls into the stands.
Yeah, good call. All right, that'll do it for week 9. We'll talk to you next week. Fair, safe travels. Take us away.
Less you bet, the more you lose when you win.
You can listen or follow the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Plus, don't miss more from Stanford Steve on ESPN SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. And check out the Bear on College Game Day on ESPN.